From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Last spring, health and science reporter Dana Bate came on to talk about how chemicals called PFAS had contaminated the drinking supply in communities along the border between Bucks and Montgomery counties.
So PFAS are a toxic class of chemicals that sometimes I say they proof things. They make them grease-proof, waterproof, stain-proof.
Right. PFAS can be associated with serious health issues. So people who lived near the military bases became concerned. But now, those chemicals are turning up far away from the bases, in places where people thought they were safe.
It would stay on the ground and get into the groundwater, and then it got into people's drinking water.
Why are some Pennsylvanians only now realizing their water is contaminated? And why is the problem of PFAS so hard to address here? Today on The Why, living over troubled water. Dana came back to talk to us about what's been happening with the story. So Dana, you talked to a family that lives far away from those military bases, but had problems with their water too. What happened out there?
So yeah, I talked to the Cuterres, Jody Cuterre, her husband, and their two young daughters.
We'll tell them not to use like the water. We can use it in the bath, just you can't drink it.
And they live in Sellersville, which is Bucks County, Upper Bucks County, is about 15 miles away from these bases. Yeah, and they're on a private well.
Everyone has private wells except for right down the street and a development. And the rest, we all have private wells.
So the fact that they even found out about this contamination is unusual because they're on a private well. Their water isn't regularly tested. But in 2016, the EPA, they had a health advisory for PFAS in your drinking water. They dropped that to 70 parts per trillion. So all of a sudden, all these water systems where they had kind of been in the safe zone before, they were no longer within bounds. So suddenly this sort of triggered a lot of cleanups around the state. So the Department of Environmental Protection went in and started testing, you know, wells in the area, and they found one that was above 70 parts per trillion at this development called Ridge Run, which is about a mile and a half from Jody's property in Sellersville. And that kind of alerted them that there was an issue, and they contacted her in a letter.
Let's see if I can. This is the packet that we got in the mail.
Asking, could we come out and test your water because we found this contamination?
You know, do you want to test our water? When's a good time? Our phone numbers, you know, all that normal deal. I kind of looked.
And they came out, and her water in her well tested above 70 parts per trillion. And so because of that, this triggered a process where she's been getting 5 51-pound boxes of bottled water.
They used to have handles on the side, but they don't do that anymore.
Every 2 weeks since 2017.
And so Jody uses this water for everything, right? Even for, I mean, for cooking, for drinking.
For everything. For making coffee, for washing vegetables.
You know, I never really paid attention on how many we go through. But, I mean, between coffee, cooking, rinsing your food, just drinking, we drink a ton of water. That's why I like to have extra just in case.
We're taking showers this morning, and we only use it to wash ourselves, and that's it. We can't drink it. You can't do anything.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how this happened if it's so far from the military base.
So that's a big question. The DEP is still investigating. The likely source that people have talked about is there was, in 1986, there was this big fire at Burgie's Tires, which if you stand in Jody's yard, she's on an acre, but you can see toward the back, beyond her trees, is Burgie's Tires.
If you cleared it away, Burgie's is right there. In the fall and the winter, you can see Burgie's right there.
And in 1986, there was a big tire fire. that required 30 fire companies to come out, and among those were fire companies from these military bases that use the firefighting foam that contains PFAS.
It was ruled an arson, and it took 20 to 21 hours for the fire to extinguish.
And according, she wasn't living there at the time, she's been there for 15 years, but according to some of her neighbors who did live there, there was foam everywhere.
Foam was sitting in all their yards back there and all up there, just sitting there for weeks apparently afterwards.
And seeped into their well water. So it is a result of the firefighting foam, but it's not because they live near the bases, they live very far away.
So you're talking about something that happened 30 years ago, basically.
Exactly, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and they call these forever chemicals. That's one of the nicknames, because they persist in the environment. That's part of the problem, is that even though this fire was 30 years ago, they don't break down. They will be there forever, and we haven't really come up with great solutions for getting rid of them.
We are still collecting information.
But I talked to Patrick Patterson at the Department of Environmental Protection, and they are investigating this. And the investigation's ongoing, and he said, we don't want to rush to conclusions. They're still looking at every angle to really discover and determine who's a responsible party.
We need to get groundwater samples from different areas in the vicinity, so we still have to undergo that process. That will help us to zero in, hopefully, on a responsible party for the action. But the primary goal for us is to make sure that the impacted residents are addressed.
So the only reason Jody had her well tested was because there was PFAS discovered in a nearby well. Would Jody have known that this was a problem if they hadn't tested the public well?
No. And that's part of the issue. So Pennsylvania is one of two states in the country, the other being Alaska, that does not regulate private wells. So homeowners are on their own to test for contaminants. And many don't. I mean, Jody did when she bought her house. But again, those tests just test for, you know, arsenic, lead, bacteria, sort of common contaminants. They don't test for PFAS.
Hmm. We didn't do any testing because it's a well. You know, you don't think about it at all.
And to test for PFAS costs about $200 to $300. And frankly, back then, people who don't live near the bases didn't even really know what these things are. Some still don't. So it's not something that someone would necessarily have tested for. So if she weren't alerted by the DEP because this public well had tested high for PFAS, she would probably still be drinking the water and have no idea.
So what does she do? I mean, can they fix this?
So she's receiving these 51-pound boxes of water, but that's just a temporary measure. The interim measure that the DEP has proposed is installing whole house filtration systems that would basically knock the PFAS levels down to zero.
The quickest way to get good water to people is through this filtration system.
And that would be for her and her 11 neighbors who are in this same position. She and her neighbors don't want the filters, though. Because, first of all, they're expensive to maintain. So the DEP has said, we will maintain these for a year.
After a year of them doing maintenance to our filters and putting them in and all that stuff, we would be responsible.
And, you know, these can cost thousands of dollars to replace if it breaks.
It's like a car. It's used. It breaks down. There's no talk about that either.
There's also the question of what you do when you swap them out. Because if they're filtering out a contaminant, you need to take them out regularly and change them. So what do? You just throw it in your trash? And if you throw it in your trash can, then it's going to the landfill. You have this PFAS-rich filter that's sitting in a landfill.
Boy.
You know, these homeowners want to be put on public water.
You're the DEP. You're supposed to be putting good stuff into our public water, or make public water for us and protect the environment. I said, you're not standing up for what you should be doing.
The DEP has said, to begin with, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that your levels will go down to zero. A filter will take it, eliminate this contaminant completely. It also is containing the plume. And the plume is sort of, if you think about the periphery of the contamination, if you know, how far out that stretches.
Mm.
These people are pumping the water out of the ground and it's going back in, and it's essentially containing the contamination. If they go on public water,
just spreads.
It'll just spread.
If we hook up 12 homes to public water, the groundwater that other people are drinking through their wells that did not test above the system could get impacted further.
And it's also expensive to put them on public water. They've estimated it could cost $2 million, and that's basically the budget to deal with this anywhere. So if they, you know, basically blow it on a dozen homes, they're worried that if the contamination is found elsewhere, they won't have the funds to deal with it. Hmm.
Could there be other people like Jody who don't realize that their water has PFAS in it?
So the department, what they're doing to kind of get a better sense of the scale of the contamination across the state is in May, they launched this, the Department of Environmental Protection launched a sampling plan. And when you look at the map of where they're sampling, there's a lot in southeastern Pennsylvania. And yeah, if they find, I talked to Patrick Patterson about this and I said, well, if you find a public well that has high levels, could you find more of these private wells that had no idea? And he said, absolutely.
We fully anticipate that we might run into more of these here and across the state.
So who's paying for this?
When it comes to areas around the military bases, the Navy has contributed a sizable amount to communities like Warminster and Horsham to help them provide clean water to residents. But when it comes to an area like Sellersville, what's complicated is it's not clear, they haven't decided who's responsible there for the contamination. And so right now, the DEP is providing water, which frankly means
we all pay for it
because it's our tax dollars paying for this water to go to them. And I think a lot of people show frustration because it's like, well, we didn't create this problem.
Right.
Why are we paying for it?
These residents need to be made whole.
So Brian Fitzpatrick, Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick, represents these communities in Bucks County. And I chatted with him a couple months ago, and he believes...
Ultimately, I think the manufacturers of the chemicals...
Companies like 3M, DuPont...
Who profiteer to the tens of billions of dollars, ultimately have to bear the financial responsibility for this.
You know, many of them are being sued. New Jersey has sued these companies. Their stocks are under pressure. So they aren't really commenting at this time. They're not offering money at this time. So it's complicated.
So what happens to people like Jody in the meantime?
Well, she feels kind of in limbo right now, to be honest. She's seen her property value go down.
I got this house appraised because we were thought about the addition. And then I was like, oh, well, it's not what I thought.
And I think she's frustrated for her children. She has two young daughters, 9 and 8. The youngest has an autoimmune disease where she has low platelets.
I have to be careful if she hits her head, hits her stomach, internal bleeding. She bruises super easy.
It's unclear whether this has anything to do with the water, and Jody readily admits that, but it hangs over her like this cloud.
Is that part of it?
Is this because... You know, I cooked their macaroni in the water and for how long? And I think she's always asking questions and just feels really unsettled. And I think a lot of people in the community do until they have a firm answer, decision. And I feel like she feels like she's not getting either of those things.
Dana, thanks as always for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on today's episode from Eugene Son. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.